In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, one God, Amen. Glory be to the Father, to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, both now and unto the ages of all ages, Amen. Good morning. Our meditation today is entitled, Join the Spiritual Revolution. And I believe that all of us, or most of us, have been following closely the Egyptian revolution. It's the number one news item in the whole world. The whole world is watching what has been unfolding and happening in Egypt, which is no less than a miracle. And today, this week, on Friday, we saw the 30-year-old rule of someone who has been termed a dictator come to an end as he was deposed by this amazing, youthful revolution, which took on a whole new understanding of the power of young people, what they can do, of the new technological era of electronics, of unity, and so many other things. Our meditation today is not so much concerned with the Egyptian revolution as it is from the lessons that we can learn spiritually from the revolution that's happening in Egypt. So I would like to briefly meditate this morning on our Lord Jesus, who has brought a radical spiritual revolution, followed by St. Paul's also theology and ideology in bringing renewal and revolution spiritually to the first century church. Then I want to focus on some of the lessons that are learned from this revolution, which are, number one, the rejection of fear; number two, embracing unity; number three, the power of one; and last but not least, is keeping a sense of humor. Let us start by looking at our Lord Jesus as a revolutionary, as a person who was not comfortable and happy with the status quo of the people. Our Lord Jesus came into the world and he said that I have come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly. He was kind to the sick, the disenfranchised, the minorities, and the people who had no one to care for them. But as for the Jewish leadership, who were hypocritical, he did not leave them. And he was not quiet. Our Lord Jesus was very vocal, and it's not because he didn't like the Pharisees or the scribes, but it's because of his love he spoke out to them. And he called them hypocrites. And he called them so many other things, especially in the Gospel of Matthew chapter 23. Amongst these things that he has said to them is, woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you cleanse the outside of the cup and dish, but inside they are full of extortion and self-indulgence. Blind Pharisee, first cleanse the inside of the cup and dish, that the outside of them may be clean also. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you are like whitewashed tombs, which indeed appear beautiful outwardly, but inside are full of dead men's bones and all uncleanliness. This is a radical and a spiritual revolution that Christ came. People at his time became so much concerned with the outward appearance, how we appear to be in the community, in the streets. How do we dress? How do we walk? How do we have certain bells that announce the times of prayer as we walk and as we stand on street corners? And men give us the praise. But in their own private lives, completely different. In their own private lives, full of extortion, full of unmercy, and full of hatred towards one another and envy. Christ came with a radical revolution that people should be transformed and reformed spiritually, first from the inside, and then it will automatically appear on the outside. Christ our Lord came that we may have life, and that we may have it more abundantly. It's like a son of a king who's living in the dungeon or in the junkyard, who is eating with the pigs and with the swine, and showering every day in their mud. He said that I, as your father, I want something amazing for you. You have been living under bondage, the bondage of sin. Now I've come to set you all free and to give you a brand new chance. In the same manner also, St. Paul was one of those radical revolutionists who wanted to bring a new spirit into the Christian church. As we might be aware, that the early Jewish converts were very much convinced that salvation came through the works of the law, which is through circumcision, through keeping the Sabbath, and such works. And St. Paul came and he said, listen, we read this in the book of Acts this morning, and Abuna commented on it a few minutes ago, the fact that Christ's amazing and radical experience with Saul on the way to Damascus that he had made him wake up, made him all the scales fell from his eyes, and he was able to see Christ in a brand new manner. And the persecutor became the persecuted. And this radical experience that St. Paul had with Christ made him go to the early church, to the apostolic church, and say, listen, we need a revolution. We need a change of mindset and a mentality. We are no longer living under the burden of the law, but we have freedom in Christ Jesus. And he said to the Galatians in the first verse of chapter 5, stand fast therefore in the liberty by which Christ has made us free, and do not be entangled again with the yoke of bondage. St. Paul was one of those radical revolutionists who brought forth not a political revolution, but a spiritual revolution. He meant to say to the people, go and experience the liberty of Christ, and then you will not have that guilt feeling, because Christ has died for us, and now we have a brand new, beautiful beginning. Let us learn a few lessons from what has been transpiring and has been reported all over the media from this existing revolution in Egypt. Number one lesson is the rejection of fear. Rejection of fear. And what we heard young people saying over and over in the media, that we are no longer afraid of the regime. There was a sense of fear amongst the people. If anyone speaks negatively of the regime or of the country, they would immediately be taken to prison or punished, severely punished, with any kind of consequence. But in this revolution, people spoke up. They have been deprived and just shut down in this bottle, and then all of a sudden, as you like shake any kind of soda and then you open, poke, it starts to spill over. But they have been contained inside of this bottle for so long, and now they no longer are fearful, and they feel that they can speak up and they can say their opinion, and their opinion matters. In the same way, my beloved, the scripture says there is no fear in love, for love casts out fear. And this is the way that Christ has taught us, is to be open with each other and with God. We are no longer fearful of the devil and his trickery, because he has given us the authority to trample on serpents and scorpions and upon all the power of the evil one, and nothing whatsoever is going to harm us. We should stand with the liberty and the strength of Christ in the face of the evil one and tell him, you have no control over us anymore. We rebuke you. We don't want you in our lives. Just like Christ said, away with you, Satan. And we will start to get rid of our bad habits that have enslaved us for such a long time, and start to experience this liberty of Christ one more time. Let us join the spiritual revolution, is what God is asking us to do today. Seriously taking our weaknesses that have enslaved us for such a long time, and say, in the power of my Lord Jesus Christ, I will fight them, I will resist them, I will go for confession, I will confess my sins so that I would have remission of sins, I will partake of the holy mysteries and the communion. I'm no longer afraid. Nothing is going to make me fearful, for I reject fear with all my heart, my mind, and soul. It is a sense of liberation. It's a sense of new beginning. It's an extravagant expression of humanity, that people are no longer slaves, but they are free, and they have the liberty in Christ Jesus. The second lesson that came out of this revolution is embracing unity. For such a long time, the old regime made the Egyptians think that if they are not in power, the Islamic Brotherhood are going to take over, Sharia law will be implemented, and life will be horrible, not only for Christians, but people who are under this regime, inside this regime, Muslims themselves will be oppressed. And again, as a result of this fear, people never wanted this change. But after the expression of the revolution, something amazing happened in Tahrir Square, which we saw on cameras, where Christians were protecting Muslims and making a human shield around them as they were praying. And also Muslims went and protected the churches in every street corner, and also Christians, as they made some hymns and celebrations and spoke some verses from the Bible. And there were many scenes of the crescent and the cross united together, and everyone was shouting and screaming, one hand, that we will stay united throughout. We forget that God works in mysterious ways and in amazing ways. But God wants us now to be united. Unity, not only with other religions in other countries, but unity starts right here, amongst ourselves, in our church, in our diversity, one united in our multiculturalism, with love and respect to each person, each individual, each culture. Doesn't matter where we are in our walk in life, but we have this united and common love and respect that overshadows the entire community and congregation, which allows us to extend this grace and this love to other people who might be guests or visiting or coming for the first time. Unity within our households. This is the time to set aside our differences and see what we have in common so that we can work together in raising our children or being united as couples or with children to their parents or singles on their own. All of it is a blessing from the hand of God and unity that He desires for His church. Unity within denominations. And this is something, again, that has climaxed in the past few years, in the sense that it seemed like there was a war between all Christian denominations for some reason. Everyone is bad-mouthing the other one publicly in the media, which caused a lot of division inside the Christian church. Yes, it is true that there are some theological differences which we need to work on and to be in dialogue to make sure that hopefully one day we can reach unity in faith. But until we reach unity in faith, we can have unity in love and unity in respect as we greet one another, as we honor one another as fellow members in the body of Christ. And if we keep this spirit inside of our hearts, Christianity will be that much united and that much stronger. There is no need whatsoever to insult anyone else on the face of the earth due to their faith. We can be in dialogue, which is logical, intelligent, and people now are seeking. A lot of people are seeking. Just yesterday I had a beautiful meeting with 30 seminarians, master's degree students from a local seminary, who came and they wanted to know about the Coptic Orthodox Church and its history and its traditions and its practices, and they asked so many questions for about an hour and a half. It was an amazing expression of people who are coming, who are seeking, who want to know. We will have so many opportunities to witness to our faith if we keep an open mind and an open spirit, and God is going to work amazing miracles. Not only unity amongst them in denominations, but unity amongst religions, as again we saw in Tahrir, and unity amongst all of human beings and all of nature and God's creation. This is the message of God, because He is a triune God, tri-unity, three in one and one in three. So in the same manner also, all of us, when we are united, we resemble the Holy Trinity in this amazing community that is very much united and one. So first, it's the rejection of fear. Secondly, it is embracing unity. Thirdly, it is the power of one. The power of one. This entire revolution possibly started because a young person, a young adult, whose first name is Wael, started a Facebook page, and he started to grow and bring awareness of the beginning of this revolution. And he called the first meeting in Tahrir Square. And then it escalated and it grew, and a lot more people joined in. Something great could start with you. We are not speaking here about the Egyptian revolution. We are speaking about a spiritual revolution. What is your passion? What is it that you want to do for God? What is it that you're going to do that will last generations? Never mind generations, years, weeks, a day, to affect people's lives, to bring them closer to His love and to His knowledge. All of us are embedded in our works, our vocation. All of us meet people on a daily basis. All of us meet each other in the church, and we greet each other with a holy kiss and a message of love and acceptance and respect. What kind of effect are we going to have on our personal lives, on our society, in our own homes, and in our churches? Many people say this: I feel a strong calling to do something. It doesn't have to be amazing or that changes the whole world or the direction of a country, but maybe it will change the direction of our church, our community, or maybe it will help the Sunday school or the youth or the young adults. Maybe it will serve the families, or it will serve people on the street. Whatever your passion is, make sure that you initiate it. Don't underestimate what God has given you as an individual. Also, this whole movement or revolution was started by a youth, a young adult. And St. John says in his first epistle, chapter 2, let no one despise your youth, but be an example to the believers in every aspect of your life, in purity. And St. Paul said to Timothy, this word in 1 Timothy 4:12, but also St. John in 1 John chapter 2, he spoke very strongly to the youth, saying, I write to you, young men and women, because you are strong and the word of God abides in you, and you have overcome the evil one. The power not only of one, but of our young people. So many people are waiting and observing until things happen to them, until someone else starts the spiritual revolution. But there are some people who say, I want to start and begin the spiritual revolution. I want to be a part that brings change to people's lives, to institutions, even to the church, as long as it is a positive change. There's no problem whatsoever. Please, we want our youth to stand up and to say, you know, I want to change my world. I want to change my school. I want to do things in the church. Many years ago, a young person who was serving the youth, and he saw that there were, when it came to time of praise and worship before the electronic media came along, okay, they were photocopying sheets of paper and they were getting lost. So he said, basically, let's make a book. Let's make a book out of all these hymns. And this book was produced, and it's still, you know, more than 20 years later, used in many churches across North America. It was a small endeavor, but when there was a need, someone stepped up and said, I want to do something for God. I want to do a little project. I want to affect people and make people experience God in a much more profound manner. I want to call on our children, on our youth, our young adults, our parents' generation, and everyone in the community. Imagine if hundreds of people stand up together to say, we want to start a spiritual revolution in the church. How will this church look like? How will every home look like? With Bible studies, as we get together as friends, let's open the Bible. Let's have a prayer meeting. Let's prepare ahead of time that we need to embed God in our midst. The whole church will be on fire. The whole community will be on fire. There will be an amazing spiritual revival in the entire region and maybe in the entire continent. This is what we need to do today. We need to join the spiritual revolution. We need not to stand back and look, oh, look what's happening in Egypt, what's happening in Algeria, what's happening in Yemen. All of that is really good. But the big question is, what are we going to do here? What are we going to do for our God, our true liberator, the one who has set us free from the bondage of the evil one and has brought us safely to this place? Finally, my beloved, I want to say that to join the spiritual revolution, the Egyptian revolution, beside the political aspect of it, it had quite a profound sense of humor. So I want to say also that we need in this spiritual revolution to keep a bit of sense of humor. I'm not sure if you saw some of the signs that the people were holding in Tahrir Square. One of them said, Mubarak, please resign. He was sitting on the ground holding his hand with a sign. Mubarak, please resign because my hand hurts already. Right? Another one was like, Mubarak, please resign. I miss my wife. It's been 17 days or whatever. Right? And another one is like, Mubarak, like a guy who had like long hair, and he said like, Mubarak, please resign. I want to go cut my hair. I don't look too good. And stuff like that, with so many different jokes, I guess, that were forwarded. I'm sure that all these forwards reach everyone. Egyptians somehow find a way of humor, even in the midst of tragedy and the midst of revolution. And I think if we speak about the spiritual revolution, we also need to maintain a bit of a sense of humor. We don't have to always be very uptight and strong and send people to hell if they don't do such and such. I think with a cheerful heart and a smiley face and a personality that reflects the grace of God, I think a lot of people could be changed better than the frown on our faces or the way that we handle spirituality and spiritual manners. God, at times, I know that He has a sense of humor in things that He does in our lives, I guess. You just look up to Him and you smile. He says, God, you know, I don't know if I like your sense of humor very much, but I'm smiling, you know, some of the things that are happening. And then other things are very funny and you can just kind of enjoy it and go along. But definitely, God is calling us to be more cheerful. And as we join this amazing spiritual revival, He is going to give joy to our hearts. And He's going to make this task not a burden on our shoulders, but a kind of joy that we have and peace we have in our lives, as well as embed in other people's lives. May these past events of these past few weeks give us a sense of unity, a sense of rejection to fear, a power to work together as a group and as individuals, keep a sense of humor, to remember our Lord Jesus, who is the amazing, radical revolutionist who is brought true knowledge of God in a spiritual manner. And of course, St. Paul, all the blessings be with us and all the prayers of the saints be with us, as God always guide us to do His will and to bring a sense of revival and new spiritual revolution to our environment. May the glory be to Him forever and ever. Amen.